Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 2. Title of our lesson comes from a thought in our reading, which knew not God. As I pondered some of the things that are happening in our world today, many of it is because they know not God. They know not the teachings of the Word of God. Or if they know them, they have ignored them, or just simply refuse to follow them. As we begin reading here in Judges 2, we must remember the history that has led up to these events, beginning with the fact the children of Israel had been released by the Egyptian leaders. Moses and the Israelites had left the cities and were headed toward the land of promise that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the meanwhile, Pharaoh and his advisors begin to ask themselves, why have we released the Jews? They were an excellent source of work, and they were our workforce. So Pharaoh and his army went after them with the idea of bringing them back. But the Lord had other plans, and he tells Moses to put his rod over the Red Sea, and it parts, and the children of Israel go over on dry ground to the other side. And Pharaoh and his army followed after the Israelites. And the Lord tells Moses to put his rod back over the Red Sea, and it does. And the sea closes back and drowns the Pharaoh and his army. But once in the wilderness of Sinai, Moses sent 12 spies to look out and investigate the land of promise. They came back with two opinions. Well, what do you expect? You send 12 people out to do something, you're going to come back with more than one opinion. And 10 of the spies reported that they could be like grasshoppers in the land and cause much fear among the people. But Joshua and Caleb encouraged Moses and the people to go into the land, for they were sure that the Lord would give them the victory. Unfortunately, they listened to the 10 and not the 2 and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all those that had been 20 and above had died and now were buried in that very wilderness that they chose to stay in. And then Moses died. And Joshua becomes the new leader. And he took the Israelites across the River Jordan, defeating Jericho, and the conquest begins. In the book of Judges, we find the Israelites were in the land, but they, of this time, did not yet have a king. Shall we stand together, if you're able, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 and verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and it brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. You know, we should always thank God for revival. And can I tell you right now, we need revival in the United States of America. But you know where that revival must begin? It must begin in the churches. Verse 5. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, In all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gosh. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the words that we find here in Judges. And Lord, may we take them as a warning that, Lord, we need to raise up boys and girls and teenagers that know the Lord, who are willing to follow after him. Lord, we pray now that you would bless these people here this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Father's Day 2021. If your father is still alive, would you please stand up? If your father is still alive, well, that's good. I'm very glad my father is still alive. I'm going to go visit him in a little while. Jim, he might know who I am today. I hope so. Thank you. You may be seated. That means the rest of you, your fathers have passed on. Now, I've lost the mother, but I haven't lost the dad. But I'm going to tell you something. Dads are important. Dads are not optional equipment. The Lord had a purpose for a husband and a wife, and that was to raise their children. And what we need today are men who are willing to stand up for the cause of Christ. Men who are willing to say that the Lord comes first, that his wife comes second, and the rest come after that. The message today is a challenge to each and every father, mother, adult, young adult, and fellow believer to re-examine your spiritual relationship with the Lord. The book of Judges ends with this thought found in Judges 21:25. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Does that sound like 2021? That we want to do what we think is right, no matter what the Lord has to say about it? Unfortunately, we live in a society that really doesn't want to have rules or regulations. Let me live whatever way I choose. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the wrong attitude to have. I will do what I want to do, no matter if it's right or wrong, and no one has the right to judge me or tell me what I should do. Judges chapter 2 is one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. It is one of the saddest chapters. We begin with the angel of the Lord reminding the Israelites of their duty to the Lord Jehovah. Many Bible commentators believe that the angel of the Lord here is the pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God, a Christophanes, if you would. And he's come to warn the children of Israel. Let's continue reading now in verse 10 down through 14. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whose fault is this, ladies and gentlemen? Whose fault is it that this generation had come up that had not known the Lord Jehovah? Can I tell you, it was their fathers and their mothers. It was the priests that didn't teach them what needed to be taught. They flubbed the dub. Do you like that term, flub the dub? Have you used it recently? I'll let you. They flubbed the dub. They failed in their most important task. Tell them about their Creator, Almighty God. Can I tell you, parents and grandparents, your number one job is not to spoil your children? Can I tell you this, that your number one job is not to make sure they have the latest cell phone and all the latest gadgets to play with? Can I tell you this, that your number one job is not to make sure they are educated? Your number one job is to make sure they know about the Lord Jehovah. That they know about Jesus Christ. That they know that men and women are sinners and that they need to be saved. That's your number one task. And unfortunately, in our world today, that is not what is happening. And unfortunately, even in many churches today, the Word of God is not all that important. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. They were unfaithful to the one who had brought them out of Egypt, who had provided for them in the wilderness, who is the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent Lord of the universe. And they began serving the false gods of the inhabitants of Canaan. But was this a 100% changing and following after false gods? Thank God for a remnant that served the Lord faithfully. Thank God for those who were willing to stand up even when others have turned their back and are going in different directions. Thank God for those who were willing to be called believers. Let us read again verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. How many times have I told you that religion will not get you into heaven, but it will lead you straight into the pit of hell? Oh, folks, we have religion in our world today. Religion that has gone amok. We have so-called Christian religions today that are okaying homosexuals in the ministry. Can you imagine? And yet this is what has happened. Dr. Mark is told about some of the things that the kings did in bringing in false gods and altars into the temple in Jerusalem. And even in today's world, we are finding those who are bringing the world's music into the church. That they are not following after the Word of God, but they are now entertainment centers. I am sure that many that are in attendance are grieving because your children or grandchildren have no regard for our Heavenly Father or for our Savior Jesus Christ. Don't stop praying for them. Be an example to them. Serve the Lord faithfully. Don't ever let it be said that you let your testimony slip away, but that you remain faithful, that you remain an example of what is right. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. And they forsook the Lord. The angel of the Lord told the Jewish inhabitants of the land that, quote, their gods shall be a snare unto you. If you let those gods continue to be worshipped in the land, they will become a snare. A snare is a trap, a pitfall, a trick. Last year when I traveled to Baskin Falls with Shayla and Travis, two of my grandchildren, we stopped to take a picture of a picturesque rapid, and leaves were covering nothing. And I stepped onto the leaves, and I fell, and I hurt myself. It was terrible, right there in front of my two grandkids. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to start crying. I just wanted to lay there, but you know, because Travis and Shayla were there, and they were all concerned, I hopped up. You know how you do when you fall? You don't want anybody to see you, and so you don't want to be embarrassed. But boy, I was hurting. Can I tell you what? There are a lot of snares in our world today, and many people are falling into them. And they're not hopping back up. They forsook. That means to abandon, to desert, to leave, to give up. They left what was right to follow that which was pleasing. Now you can write that down. They left that which was right to follow that which was pleasing. Baal. In Canaanite mythology, Baal, which means master or owner, was the god of storm and rain, and thus they believed he controlled the fertility of the land, and was widely worshipped in the ancient Near East. Continuing, Baal was thought to be excited by violence and by sex, and thus rites honoring him often featured acts intended to stimulate his emotions and lead him to similar acts in the heaven, which were thought to bring rain to earth. Thus, in Elijah's time, the priests of Baal cut themselves, hoping the smell of blood would arouse him and attract his attention. Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth was Baal's consort, also known under the names Astarte, Ishtar, and Anath. She was the goddess of war and fertility, and was Baal's female counterpart in Canaanite religious rites. And rather than to exterminate this degraded religion, the Israelites adopted it and/or many of its features, thus breaking their covenant with the Lord Jehovah and provoking God's anger. You know, they say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of spoilers. He sold them into the hands of their enemies. And the hand of the Lord was against them. In Judges 1, Israel was fighting the enemy. Then they tired of the fight and spared the enemy. Then they imitated the enemy, which led them to obeying the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my opinion that the United States of America is much like Israel in that we have indeed been given a great land of promise. No one can doubt that the United States of America has been blessed for many years. But look at us today. We have forsaken the Lord. America is much like Israel, that served him faithfully and then began to drift away from him. And the Lord sent preachers to proclaim his word, and great revival swept the land. And they were called the Great Awakenings, and revival came. But then, once again, they began to drift away. And God sent great droughts. They had the sandstorms that blew south the land that once grew crops. There became the Depression era. And some of you either grew up in it or your parents grew up in it, and they talk about how things were. There have been wars. Then God's word was proclaimed again and again, and great churches were established. Great churches that preached the word and sent out missionaries. And God blessed America because of gospel preaching churches. And once again, our nation is drifting away from the word of God. I believe we're ripe for the Lord to bring judgment upon us. We live in a society that thinks that money is the answer to all our problems. In other words, money is an idol. And we are being given it hand over fist. I just heard that our governor wants to give unemployment to people who are working. Isn't that amazing? This is our society. Throw money at it. But money is not the answer, folks. Entertainment is not the answer. We've got entertainment 24/7. I remember listening to some of our people on sports radio talking about the fact that America needed sports. Is that what America needs? What does America need? It needs the Bible. It needs gospel preaching churches. It needs its believers to stand up for what's right. And yet, we are not proud this month of the Bible. We are proud of a wrong lifestyle. Pride goeth before the fall. Folks, don't be surprised what comes our way in the near future. God will at some time say, enough is enough. We have drifted from the word of the Lord. They forsook what the Lord had done for them. They had forgotten what the Lord had said unto them. They forfeited what the Lord had promised them. He had promised them this land that would be a blessing. They sadly failed to learn from what the Lord had done. And they forsook him. And in the book of Judges, he chastened them severely with the hope that the punishment would bring them back to him. Can America see revival? Let me ask you a question. Do you want to see revival in America? Do you want to see revival in America no matter the cost? What if it meant America went into one of the greatest depressions it's ever had? Would you say, why, God? Why am I having to live this way? Do you want revival in America? It will cost us. Revival must begin in the church. That's where it begins. It doesn't begin outside. It begins in the church where people get their hearts right and they serve faithfully the Lord. Do you think that can happen in America? What if I told you this? Certain things would have to be done away with. You're afraid what I'm going to tell you. And yet you know what it is. You know. You know that we would have to give up things that take our attention away from the Lord. That take our minds away from our families. That make us take away our thoughts from fellow church members. Do you remember there was a time in which people used to sit out on their porch and talk to their neighbors? Why don't they do that today? Because they're inside watching television or on the internet or on their phones. And they really don't care. As long as I have mine, that's all that counts. Can there be revival in America today? As I listen to your silence, I wonder. I wonder what we're afraid of. As we continue reading verse 15, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Shall we stand together? As Pastor Stephen comes to lead us in a hymn 401, maybe as we have the invitation time, you would like to come and pray. Pray for America. Pray for your church. Pray that the Lord would touch hearts. Pray that we literally could have revival with this body of believers. Dear Heavenly Father, as we sing this invitation song, Lord, may people be touched. May they be willing to surrender. May they be willing to be used of Thee. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.